We open our Bibles together tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read the entirety of this chapter, and we'll look into verse 7 of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, the faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We look at verse 7 this evening. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Boys and girls, the Bible gives to us many word pictures about prayer, what we call figures of speech, words that draw figures to mind. The Bible gives us many word pictures for prayer because prayer is a priceless gift. It's a great need, and we must be encouraged to pray. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. When we pray, we come before the very throne of God. God who rules over all things eternally and rules tonight over all things. We come before God who is high and holy and glorious, but we may come boldly to him. And we can come boldly to him because in the verses before tell us what we have in high priest, Jesus Christ, who is touched with all the feelings of our infirmities, who understands. He does not only simply understand intellectually, you and me, but he understands in his heart what we need, and we may come to the Father. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Prayer is that secret place. Prayer is that place where we may enter into communion with God alone, where we may stand under the shadow of God Almighty and under the shadow of His wings. Surely there no harm can come to me. Surely there is safety and peace for me. Luke 15, verse 18, speaking of the grace of God working in a prodigal son, in a sinner, the grace which could not leave him and brought him to repentance. And he came to himself and he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, Father, I have sinned, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and embraced him. We come to God as a prodigal, guilty. And in prayer, the Father receives us as His sons and daughters. There's many, many beautiful pictures of prayer throughout the Bible to teach us how precious is this gift, how wonderful is this gift, and to encourage us to pray. And now, tonight, there's this one. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All that weighs tonight upon your soul heavily, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat and leave it there. All that overwhelms, all that clouds out from your earthly view His blessings, all that make it so that you can't hear of those blessings, the things that keep you awake, that are consuming your thought, take all of those things, all of them, now take them and cast them into the arms of God. And as you do so by faith, look into His heart. He careth for you. Peter, or rather the Holy Spirit who writes this epistle, is writing this epistle to us as we are pilgrim strangers on this earth. Chapter 1, verse 1, he addresses us this way, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus. And then again in chapter 2, at verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. He explains to us in the first chapter, if you remember, that we have become these spiritual pilgrims. We are no longer of the earth earthy, but we have a land that is promised to us above. We have become these pilgrims because God's abundant mercy has begotten us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ unto this living hope. We have been born again from above, and therefore, as pilgrims and strangers, the Apostle Peter is saying in this epistle, we must gird up the loins of our mind. We are pilgrims, we are traveling, and we must hope. We must hope to the end for the glory that has been promised us. And as he's coming now in this chapter to the close of his epistle, he brings three admonitions that we must follow, practical admonitions to follow as pilgrims. He says to us, first of all, that we must dress right. You know that when you go hiking or when you're traveling on foot, that you must wear the right clothes, that the suit and the Sunday shoes are not going to fit for that. And so he says to us as pilgrims, you have to be dressed right. He says in verse 5, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. We must be humble. Proud people have many conflicts. Pride in us will bring us much distress as travelers toward heaven. He says, secondly, in our verse, as a pilgrim, as a traveler, you must not carry too much on your back. You must not have all kinds of things you're holding onto in your backpack. You must not have a load of care, but you must cast them on God. And then in the following verse, verse 8, he reminds us of the enemy. As pilgrims, there is an enemy, the devil, a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We must constantly be on the watch. And it's that second word to pilgrims that we consider tonight, that load of anxiety, that load of care, that load of distress, which jumps onto our back. We must cast it upon God in prayer. Casting our care, all our care, on God. Cast all your care on God. What does that mean? Care, here, the Holy Spirit uses a word that may be translated anxiety or worry. The Greek words means to be pulled apart or to be pulled in many different directions at one time. It's referring to us when we are preoccupied, when we have the mile stare in our eyes, when we are consumed with the thoughts that are within us, when there is that which takes over our soul and our mind, and we cannot find peace, we are agitated over it, we cannot find rest. Our cares, our worries are to us undefeatable. We can't shed that fear. That fear begins to press us down. The Greek word refers to what we might say, brooding over things. Things that disturb our sleep. We can't get it off our mind. The Holy Spirit uses the singular, not cares, but care. And he uses the singular not because we have one care. Cares multiply. And cares have tentacles that go out to all parts of our life. We don't have only one care. But the singular is used here because our cares have all to do with one thing. What's going to happen to me? What will happen in the future? Am I going to be able to bear this? What if this happens? How could I possibly take that? We place ourselves into the future. And God says to us in His Word that our care of the future of tomorrow cannot take away from tomorrow its sorrows and its trials. He will give us grace then, He says. But God does say to us that our carefulness for tomorrow will empty today our souls of His strength and presence. The word care could be translated burden. And the Holy Spirit, through Peter, is probably thinking of Psalm 55, verse 22, a psalm of David, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." The words are very similar. He's probably thinking, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved," the psalm of David. And it could well be that the Apostle Peter, that was one of the favorite verses of the Apostle Peter, because he was the one who had that burden that crushed him when he denied his Lord 3 times. And it might have been the grace of that very passage that spoke to his heart. Cast that, confess that to the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. In Psalm 55, David is writing about Absalom, who has rejected God, who is trying to kill David. He's thinking of Ahithophel, his trusted counselor, the man that he had gone to church with. He had sweet communion with him in the church. And that very man now had turned to betray him and had sided with Absalom. David was at a point in Psalm 55 that his life seemed to be shattered all around him because of his sin. And so in life, our lives can appear to us to be shattered, hopeless. It can be the trials of this life. Peter is writing to the church that is scattered abroad for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the gospel. He's writing to people who are being persecuted, who are sleeping perhaps tonight in a gymnasium, or whose parents have been killed. He's talking about that type of care. It includes sicknesses. It includes cancer, the health of our body, our life, our family, without us. It includes special needs children and their life. It includes the widow and the widower, those of old age and infirmed, and we can't remember and care for ourselves. It refers to loneliness. It can refer to our responsibilities, those good responsibilities that God has given me to do, the demands upon my time, the pressure that I have now in the job, that all this has to be done, caring for a family, caring for the church of God as office bearers, doing schoolwork and the pressure of schoolwork. It can refer to being consumed in our thinking about what other people are thinking about me, what they're saying about me in the media. It can refer to the burden that we carry in our hearts for our fellow family members, for sons and for daughters, for loved ones who are not walking in the way of life. They do not feel that blessedness of belonging to Jesus Christ. They do not feel the need to belong to God's people. There are cares, there are burdens. They fill our soul and they consume us so that we cannot think of anything else. And they are dangerous. Our cares are dangerous, because they silence the voice of God to my soul, and they stop me in my tracks so that I sit down. I'm tempted to sit in despair and not continue today and tomorrow walking with the Lord. Your care. We all have that. We are all subject to it. This word of God is not for certain personality types. It's not for certain people. It's not just for those who, well, emotionally we say, some would say they're weak. It's for each one of us right now. It's true of you and of me. Jesus. Matthew 13, verse 22, he uses the word in the parable of the soils, and he said that third seed which fell among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care, singular, of this world, what does it do? It chokes the word of God. My cares choke the word of God. Luke 10, verse 41, Jesus in the house of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. Mary is sitting at his feet hearing his word, and Martha is cumbered about. She is burden with giving everybody something to eat and caring for people in proper etiquette. And she complains that Mary's not helping her. And Jesus says, Martha, he loved Martha. Martha, Martha, you are careful about many things. There's but one thing needful. And Mary has chosen that part. Our cares take away from us what we need. The Word of God. The Apostle Paul himself speaks of his care, his anxiety. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 28, when he gives the litany of all the things that he has suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ. And then he adds in verse 28, besides all these things that are without, that happened to me from outside, those were heavy things. Yes, God's grace was sufficient. But besides that, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches, the care that we are to have for the kingdom of God, for the cause of Christ, for the church, legitimate care. The responsibility of elders, the responsibility of the pastor, the responsibility of the deacons, the responsibility of parents, of school board members. They seem to us at times now to be overwhelming. They seem insolvable to us. They threaten us to stop. They try to leave us without peace. What are we to do? God says, cast your care on Him. The Holy Spirit uses an imperative here, a present active imperative, which means that the translation is, keep on casting them on God. God is saying, keep on casting your anxiety on me. God is saying, you cannot carry them in your strength. As a pilgrim, your path, your walk in this world, you cannot continue on that path with all those burdens pressing on your heart. You must constantly be giving them over to God. He's saying to us, don't tough it out and say, I'm so strong. He's saying to us, don't somehow neuter your emotions. Become cold and unfeeling and I don't care. No, don't become careless. He doesn't say, be careless. He says, cast your care on God. Don't medicate those cares with the misuse of drugs and alcohol. Don't try to escape that anxiety and those cares by stepping outside of the will of God, believing that something other would be better for you and you'd finally have peace. Don't do that. Take them, each one, every day, time after time, and bring them to the mighty hands of the God of Jacob. Lay them there. Lay them before God. Tell Him in prayer. Bring with you words. Explain those things. Throw them by faith on the shoulders of the living God. Cast them on God. You could translate the word throw. It's the one time in the Bible that I am allowed to throw something. I mayn't throw stones, and I mayn't throw hurts in my words. I must not do that. But I can throw my care on God. The word cast is used in Luke 19:35. Children, you remember when the disciples were going to put Jesus on the little colt, the foal of a donkey, and lead him on Palm Sunday through the streets of Jerusalem, that they cast their garments on the colt, and then he sat thereon. That they cast their garments on the colt does not mean they made a pile of clothes on top of the colt, but it means literally they spread. They spread their garments over the back of that colt. They spread them out repeatedly, continually. Spread them. Spread your cares at the throne of grace. It's our default setting to take those cares back and put them on. It's our default setting to do everything except prayer. And that's why, that's true of us. That's not why we need the prayers of the elders. And we need the prayers of our fellow believers. And in humility, we must ask them to pray for us. They will come. They will come and pray for you. And we need to pray for each other. We have eyes to see where the needs are. We don't need to talk about them always. But we need to pray for others, not just for our cares, but we need to care for each other's, pray for each other's cares. But we find that even after a season of prayer, and even after God gives us grace to do this, it seems our cares are glued to us. And it seems that all too soon, in a day or so, we're back to it again. And we find again that they are too much for us to carry. And we do that because we don't quite trust God to carry our cares the way we want Him to. And so here's the point. We may not surrender to our cares, but we must surrender our cares to God. Don't surrender to your burden. Don't despair. Don't try to escape. But repeatedly, give them over to God in prayer. We do that in prayer. That's prayer. That's how. Psalm 55 that Peter is quoting from is all about prayer. At that time in David's life, probably the most difficult, one of the most difficult of his life, he writes, "At morning, at noon, and at evening, I shall pray. At that point, most difficult, David probably looked back and said it was a good time. It was a good time. Because I lived by prayer. I couldn't take a step without prayer. But we become skeptical whether prayer can help us. And so we need to be reminded that prayer, it is prayer that will give us to see all the things that fear is hiding from our eyes. Fear seeks to erase from your soul and from your heart, the things of our faith. Our fears and our burdens are vocal. They speak to us. Psalm 3, David says at that same time, "There be many who say unto me, there is no hope for him in God." The voice of our despair, the voice of our hopelessness, sometimes the hope, the voice of our bitterness, that nothing is fair in our life. Why do these things happen? These are strong voices, and they seek to silence the testimony of faith in our hearts. And prayer, going to God in prayer, reveals the reality about our cares and the reality of God's presence. Psalm 3 again. But thou, O God, art a shield for me, the lifter of my head. In prayer, God lifted his head from his cares so that he could see God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Prayer lifts up our eyes off our cares to God and his promises. Children, you remember Elisha's servant. When the Syrian army had surrounded the town of Dothan and the servant had got up early to prepare breakfast and he saw those soldiers and he cried out to Elisha, My father, alas, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see the angels of God round about him. You remember when Rabshakeh stood before the walls of Jerusalem and he said it and then he wrote it down on a scroll. And he walked up and he handed them the scroll of all that the king of Assyria was going to do if they did not surrender. And he said, give this to Hezekiah. What did Hezekiah do? He took that scroll to the temple of God and he spread it out. He spread it out before the altar of God. And he said, Lord, you have heard what he said. Now you must answer him. That's prayer. In prayer, we listen. We listen to the voice of God. We pause and we hear him speak peace to us. It is I. We go to God in prayer because not only do we see reality through prayer, but we also again learn in prayer that the answers of God will not necessarily be that the circumstances of our life tonight are going to be dramatically changed. One day they will be. One day they shall all be changed. But our prayers do not mean that God's answer will be that these things are changed now or that nothing bad will happen. But prayer reveals to us that the circumstances and trials of our life are working God's purpose. The Apostle Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Prayer reminds you. You go to the throne and you cast all that's consuming you upon your shoulders of the soul. You cast it on God, and he shows you that those things which are making us afraid is the Father refining us in our faith. But perhaps you say with me tonight, yes, Pastor, I believe all of that. I've been taught that about prayer. And I need to be reminded that prayer is to listen to God and to see the reality of God and to see the purposes of God. But my cares come back to me again. And I become weighed down. And I fear I can't go on. Is there more? Is there still something more? And the answer to that is yes. He cares for you. He cares for you. I don't have words to express the depth of what that means. I can't do that. God's care is His expression to our souls of His eternal love and grace that is found in His Son, Jesus Christ. God's care, you see a person's care and concern in their face when they're looking at you. God's care is His face in prayer, His countenance. He lifts up His countenance, His face, Jehovah's shining face, says one of the Psalters, gives confidence and grace to all who are pure-hearted. To care for someone is to have a heartfelt concern in the love of God for that person. It is to empathize with them. It is to have compassion. It is to be moved in one's heart for another's feelings. We are, as people of God, to have that grace in Christ, to care one for another. We are to have the same care one for another. We must be caring always for each other in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God cares for us. Means not just intellectually, He knows. He knows your weakness and your frailty. He knows your fears tonight. He knows everything about them. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. Only His care is not like ours, because our care can't do anything. His care can and does. His care is His mighty grace in Jesus Christ, His arm, His hand to sustain us in every need. Humble yourselves, says Peter, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon Him. Prayer by faith stands on two eternal pillars. God is sovereign. He holds me in His hand. And my Father is gracious to me in Jesus Christ. He cares for you. That's His answer to you tonight about your care. We are not simply to cast our cares upon Him. We are to cast ourselves by faith upon Him. We are to throw ourselves down before Him. We are to cast our loved ones in prayer on Him. We are to cast all of our future and what will happen on Him. We are to cast our burden on Him. We are not in control. He is. And He cares for you. He cares for you is in the present tense, to express an ongoing action. He never stops caring. He never ceases. He never rests from caring. He does not slow down. He never lets up in His caring. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Don't carry
your cares, your woes, your fears, your agony. Cast it into His arms. He will never stop caring for you. So we must do this. We must do this because we can't bear them. Because it's only through prayer that we come to see reality and the reason for these cares. But we must do this because God commands it. He is saying to you, you must cast your care tonight on me. And we must do this because by grace, be it weak faith, by grace, He has given us faith in Him, who is God, our God. If we didn't believe that, why would we pray? And we do this because we believe and know that He does give us peace. He gives us peace passing all understanding through Christ Jesus. He says to us in His Word, He speaks to you, child of God, to you in your situation tonight. God speaks, not me. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hear His Word. Don't carry those things on your soul. They will crush you. Cast them into the arms of God. Don't try to escape them of yourselves, but come like a little child of faith. And you will find grace to help in time of your need. You will be brought under the shadow of the Almighty in a secret place with Him. You may arise and go to your Father. And while you are a long way off, He has compassion, for He cares for you. Amen. Father, we love Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Now, by the Holy Spirit, take that which is spoken in sin and weakness, and by the Holy Spirit, bestow the blessing of Thy Word deep into our hearts and souls tonight. No matter the burden, no matter the worry, no matter the care, no matter the prospect of tomorrow, may we take it all and entrust it to Thee, listen to Thee, and hear Thee speak. Thou dost care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.